Thank you, Mike, for the very good prayer that you let us in a few moments ago. Certainly appreciate that good prayer. Thank you, Bruce, for leading us in that very uplifting hymn, Wonderful Story of Love. And appreciate the good reading of the scriptures that Alvin just gave for us. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this evening as we take just a few moments this afternoon to discuss our lesson to this afternoon titled, Let's Be Prepared for Our Gospel Meeting. As we all are, or at least should be, aware of, if the Lord wills, our gospel meeting with Jared Jacobs doing the preaching will begin next Sunday. Knowing that, I want to take just a few moments this afternoon to stir us up by way of reminder, to remind us of some things that we need to be doing and making some much-needed preparations for our upcoming gospel meeting. So with that thought pressed upon our minds this evening, let's take just a few moments to discuss some ways that we can prepare for our gospel meeting. Starting with, we all need to be preparing now for our gospel meeting by making plans now to attend every service of our gospel meeting. You see, we need to be mindful that one thing that we all should want to do is we should want to be here for our gospel meeting. Each and every one of us should be making plans now to make the proper preparations in order to be here for every service of our gospel meeting. You see, in order to get the most out of our gospel meeting, we're going to have to be here, aren't we? We're going to have to be here. And when I think about how we all should have that attitude of wanting to be here for our gospel meeting, I can't help but to think about the words of David down there in Psalm 122 and verse 1. Remember what David said there? He said, I was glad to me when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Simply put, David looked forward to the opportunity to go into the house of the Lord, didn't he? And that should be the mentality of each and every one of us, brethren. We too should look forward to every opportunity that we have to come together to hear God's word preached and to stir one another up for love and good works. We should look forward to that. And you know what? We're going to have an opportunity to do that Sunday through Friday of next week. And we should be making plans now to be here during each and every opportunity that we can from Sunday through Friday of next week. When I think about that and I think about the benefits of that, I can't help but to think about what the Hebrews writer says there in Hebrews chapter 10. Go there with me if you will. There in Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin there in verse 24. Notice what the Hebrew writer said. He said, and let us consider one another. Why? In order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. I want to stop there. You see, think about this. The Hebrews writer here tells us to do what? To consider one another. Why? In order to stir up or to provoke one another unto love and good works. And then he goes on to say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now let's put this together. If we're going to be able to fulfill the instruction in verse 24, what's going to have to happen? We're going to have to be here, right? We're going to have to be here in order to fulfill that instruction to stir up one another for love and good works that is found there in verse 24. You see that? And when we willingly choose not to be here, when we forsake or we abandon the assembling of ourselves together, guess what we're doing? We're failing to obey the instruction in verse 24. You see that? That's important. And we need to be a people who take advantage of every opportunity that we have to be here during our gospel meeting. This may acquire some adjustments to be made on our behalf, right? We may be required to make some adjustments in order to be here on our behalf with work schedules or school schedules, school activities. We may have to do some rearranging next week, right? But if we truly want to get the most out of this upcoming gospel meeting, we're going to be willing to do whatever it takes in order to do our best to make plans to be here every night during our gospel meeting. But I also suggest to us another thing that we can do to prepare for our upcoming gospel meeting is we can prepare for our gospel meeting by inviting others now to attend our gospel meeting. You see, do you realize the impact that a simple invitation can have on someone's life? Do you realize that? Do you realize just how much a simple invitation to be here to our gospel meeting, how much that could impact somebody's life? You see, when I think about the impact that a simple invitation can have on others, I can't help but to think about the account that we find there in John chapter 4. Go there with me, if you will, in your Bibles there, to John the 4th chapter. As good Bible students, we're familiar with the account here in John 4. We're familiar with Jesus addressing this Samaritan woman, right? And I want to pick up here in John chapter 4 and in verse number 29. Remember, as the woman, as she went back into the city, notice what she said. Verse 29, she said, "Come." By the way, that word "come," you know what that is? It's an invitation word. It's an invitation word. She said, "Come." She simply invited them to do what? She said, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. Here we see two things. We see here in verse 29, the invitation being offered. Verse 30, we see the invitation being accepted. Now let's notice the impact that that simple invitation had on those who accepted. Pick up with me, if you will, dropping down there to verse number 39. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him." That is Jesus. It says, "Many of the Samaritans in that city believed in him," that being Jesus. Why? "Because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them," or he stayed there 2 days. "And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" You see that? You see the impact that that simple invitation given by that Samaritan woman for them to come and see, to come and see for themselves, what that had on the lives of those Samaritans. What was the result? Many believed in Jesus the Christ. I'm here to tell you, my beloved brethren, there are many in the world today who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know many, I venture to say, who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be diligent in inviting those that we know who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ to come and be here this upcoming week, Lord willing, next week, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. Knowing that that simple invitation, if accepted, once that person hears, and if it falls on a good and honest heart, it's going to produce the same result. It's going to have an impact on the lives in whom that good word falls on that good and honest heart. And they too will be people who will believe in Jesus. And as we talked about, even as Mike prayed in his prayer this afternoon, gospel of Christ is powerful, isn't it? As we talked about this morning in our study, the gospel of Jesus Christ is God's drawing power to salvation. The gospel's powerful. It's powerful. Why would we not want to be spreading the word and inviting others to come hear that powerful word preached? We have no excuse not to be doing that, do we? Therefore, let us all be making proper preparations now to invite others to attend our gospel meeting. We've got flyers made. Pick them up. Pass them out. Post them in places that you visit on a regular basis that will allow you to post them there in places of business. Get the word out. Let's be diligent in spreading the word. And let's be diligent in inviting and encouraging others to be with us next week during our gospel meeting. But here's another thing we can do to prepare for our gospel meeting. We can prepare for our gospel meeting by planning now to arrive early before each service to greet our visitors and each other before each service begins. You see, some of you may be thinking, well, why would I want to arrive early for each service during our gospel meeting? What's the benefit of that? Well, let me share the benefit of that. What impression do you get when people come in at the last minute, or if they come in late? What impression does that leave on you? You know what impression that leaves on me? The impression it gives me is it tells me that they're really not interested in what they're about to do. Because they really, if they were really interested, then they would have been here on time, wouldn't they? They would have actually, if they were really interested, they would have got here a little early in anticipation to get started, right? You know what impression it leaves on me when I go to other congregations to visit for a gospel meeting? And most of you know me. You know me. If I'm not at least 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes more than that early, I'm late. But you know what impression it leaves on me when I pull into a parking lot for a gospel meeting and I sit there and I look at the clock and it's about 5 till and there's still nobody there but me? And then all of a sudden, here they all come, the last 5 minutes. You know what that tells me? It tells me that they're really not excited about what's going on there. You see, brethren, we need to be mindful of the emphasis that the Scriptures put upon the need to greet one another. Because, believe it or not, there's about around 50 references throughout the Scriptures that emphasize the need to be greeting one another. And when we think about the need to be here and to plan to arrive early in order to greet one another, in order to fulfill that, we've got a plan on that, right? Maybe we're going to have to make some adjustments. Maybe we're going to have dinner a little bit earlier that night. I've even heard some people say in order to make sure that they arrive early, they'll set their clock back 5 or 10 minutes. We're going to have to do some adjustments in order to achieve it. But there's going to be benefits in achieving that. You see, first impressions mean a lot, right? First impressions mean a lot. And you know the impression that we're going to send to our visitors when our members are here and standing around regularly ready to greet our visitors? You know what kind of impression that's going to leave on them? It's going to leave a good impression on them. It's going to leave a good impression on them. Because again, I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've went in to visit other congregations and not one member came to greet me. Not one member came to greet me. How do you think that made me feel? Do you think it made me want to go back there? Think about that. Because I have a feeling that that's how anybody's going to feel, if that's the case. Let that not be the case here at Belleville. Let's be making plans now to be here, to arrive early during our gospel meeting week, to be ready to greet our visitors and one another. Let's do that. Because again, the Scriptures put emphasis upon greeting one another. I'm going to share just one example of that with you, found there in Romans 16, verse 16. There Paul said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." Now I recognize that when Paul says greet one another with a holy kiss, that was a custom of the first century. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that that's no longer a custom of ours in the 21st century. There's a lot of my brethren I love, but I sure don't want to kiss them. But we need to recognize that we need to be greeting one another. Our custom is to handshake, right? Since COVID, a lot of us have become accustomed to giving a little fist bump. But nonetheless, whatever it is, we need to be prepared to greet one another. We need to be prepared to welcome our visitors and one another and to greet them. Again, we can see, again, the example given there in 1 Peter chapter 4 about why we should be looking forward to being here. It can be seen here in 1 Peter 4. Go there with me. Notice this instruction of Peter. Peter said here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse number 8, he says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another." Stop there. I want you to know something. If we truly have a fervent love for one another, we're going to look forward to getting together with one another, aren't we? And really, if our love for one another really abounds and is where it needs to be, we're going to be a people who can't wait to get together with one another. We're going to be anticipating our being together to express our love for one another, aren't we? We're going to be looking forward to that. And when we look forward to something, more than likely, we're going to be regularly prepared to get there for that, right? And going on there to verse 9, notice what it says. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That's important too, isn't it? We need to remember that. You see, it's not only that we're hospitable to our visitors, but we also need to remember they need to continue to be hospitable to one another, don't we? And what does Peter say about that? How's our hospitality toward one another to be? Without grumbling. Without grumbling. It needs to be sincere, doesn't it? Let us hold on to these thoughts. And let us be prepared for our gospel meeting by preparing to arrive early before each service to greet our visitors and each other before each service begins. But here's another thing that we need to be prepared to do for our gospel meeting. Not only do we need to prepare now to be hospitable toward our visitors and toward one another, but we need to be prepared now to be hospitable for our visiting preacher. We need to be making preparations now to be hospitable to Jared throughout the week of our gospel meeting. We can do this by opening up our homes to him, by providing meals for him, and simply just by being friendly with him throughout the week of our gospel meeting. You see, again, I know what it's like to go and be a visiting preacher at other congregations. And there's been congregations that I've visited in the past that I've walked in there and I didn't know a soul from Adam. I didn't know anybody. But you want to know something? They were all very hospitable, and it didn't take me long to get comfortable with them, brethren, and to feel welcome. And when we are hospitable, it does make people feel welcome, doesn't it? It makes them feel right at home, right? And that's what we need to be prepared to do for Jared this next week. We need to be prepared now to be making proper preparations to invite him in our homes throughout the week if you wish to have him in your home. Need to be prepared to be providing meals for him. I'm so thankful for all of you that are already made those preparations. Our meal list is full. Our brethren have signed up and each list, each date throughout the week is taken. It's full. That's encouraging. Because that tells me that you brethren here, you're making preparations. You're making the needed preparations. But we also need to all be making preparations to be friendly to him, right? That's something we all can do, right? I recognize not everyone may want him in their home. I recognize not everyone may have an opportunity to prepare a meal for him. But something we do all have an opportunity to do, and something that we are all going to be capable of providing to Jared through our hospitality, is being friendly to him. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. And when I think about being hospitable, being hospitable to laborers of the Lord. My mind goes to Lydia there in Acts chapter 16. Notice this with me. Here in Acts chapter 16. Again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here. We're familiar with Paul and Silas going to Philippi. We're familiar with that. We're familiar with them coming across Lydia. Lydia, who was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. But notice, as she heeded the things spoken by Paul, notice this with me. Now, a certain woman named Lydia, this is in verse 14 of Acts 16, heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. Now watch this. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, what did she do there in verse 15? She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. When I think about being hospitable to laborers of the Lord, I can't help but to think about that account with Lydia. Lydia was hospitable, wasn't she? She begged them, the scriptures say. Begged Paul and his fellow laborers to come to her house. Think about that. That's an expression of hospitality, isn't it? That's the kind of hospitality that we need to be prepared to deliver to Jared next week, Lord will. We need to be a people who are ready to spend quality time with Jared, just as Lydia wanted to spend quality time with Paul and his fellow co-laborers in the Lord. And you know what that's going to do for Jared? I'll tell you what it's going to do for him, because I've been there. It's going to encourage him. It's going to encourage him. You see, I venture to say Jared's going to be just like most of other gospel preachers. He's coming here to be the encourager. But let's make sure that he leaves the encouraged. And if we do our part in being hospitable to Jared during that upcoming gospel meeting week, he will leave the encouraged. Let us make that our aim. Let us make that our aim as we prepare to be hospitable to Jared throughout the week of our gospel meeting. And let's be always ever mindful of Paul's instruction to Christians there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. What did he tell them there? Something that they needed to be given to. What was that? Hospitality. Let us, brethren, all be given to hospitality next week during our gospel meeting. And not only then, but at all times. At all times. But here's another thing we can do to prepare for our upcoming gospel meeting. Is we need to be preparing for our upcoming gospel meeting by praying now for Jared and the efforts of the upcoming week. You see, again, that's something that we all can do. We all can be praying and lifting our prayers up now for our gospel meeting. And it's important that we recognize the need to be praying for Jared and for the efforts that will be put forth next week, Lord willing. When I think about the need to be praying for Jared, I can't think about Paul's request there in Ephesians chapter 6. Go there with me, if you will, for a moment there to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, remember what Paul, what his request was from the saints in Ephesus. Remember what his request was? Well, notice beginning there in verse 18. He tells them to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now pay attention to verse 19. He says, and for me. Why? Paul will notice. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There it is. That's why we need to be praying for Jared this upcoming week. We need to be praying for him, just as Paul asked the saints in Ephesus to pray for him for boldness, that he can make known the mystery of the gospel. We need to be praying that Jared will boldly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ next week. We need to be praying for him and for the efforts. When I think about the need to be praying for the efforts of next week, I can't help but to think about Paul's request to the saints in Colossae. Go there with me, if you will, for a moment there to Colossians chapter 4. Notice these words of the inspired apostle, beginning in verse number 2. There Paul said, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now watch verse 3. He says, meanwhile, praying also for us. Why, Paul? That God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. You see that? Paul requested that the saints in Colossae be praying for him and his fellow co-laborers for a door to open. For a door to open to preach the word of God. We need to be praying for that. We need to be praying that this gospel meeting, Lord willing, coming up, will open doors for us to take the gospel and to teach it to others. But we also need to be praying for the lost. We need to be praying for the lost. We need to be praying that they may come and hear the word, accept it with a good and honest heart, and be saved. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about Paul's desire for some of his brethren that were lost, and that some of those that he knew that needed to be saved, as we see in Romans chapter 10. Notice this with me. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is what? That they may be saved. Simply put, Paul's heart's desire and his prayer was that the lost be saved. We too need to have that as our heart's desire and prayer, right? Let's be praying for that. Let's be praying that the lost will accept our invitation to come here to hear the word. Let's be praying that they'll accept it with a good and honest heart and that they will be saved. But let's also be mindful of the fact that we need to be praying that God will be glorified. That God will be glorified during our upcoming gospel meeting week. Because here's the thing, brethren, it's not about us. It's not about us. But to whom does all glory belong? To God. And we need to make sure that we're praying that all that is done in our efforts next week will most importantly bring glory to God. And let us always remember the power that is in prayer. What did James tell us there in James chapter 5 and verse 16? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. There's power in prayer, isn't there? Let us be mindful of that. And let us prepare for our upcoming gospel meeting by praying now for Jared and the efforts of the upcoming week. My beloved brethren, preparation is needed on the part of each and every one of us in order for us here at Belleville to get the most out of the opportunities that will be provided by our upcoming gospel meeting. Therefore, let us all strive to make the most out of the opportunities that will be provided by our upcoming gospel meeting by being prepared for our gospel meeting. Now the question is, can we count on you to be prepared for our upcoming gospel meeting week? Can we? I believe we can. I believe we can. And let us all be doing all that we can on our part to be prepared for our upcoming gospel meeting so that we all may get the most out of our upcoming gospel meeting. Maybe there is one here this evening who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. We don't want you to wait till next week to do that. But now, today is the day of salvation. And if you have not yet submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will, you're encouraged to do that this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but we must continue to remain faithful unto death. As Jesus promised the crown of life to those who do, there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Maybe there's one here this evening who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. But maybe you've not been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent. to confess your sins to God and to ask Him for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this evening who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song Bruce has selected.